Her Highness shall not tell the serfs where she stands. The serfs should not ask Her Highness where she stands on the issues. I've been doing this for 20 years. I have never heard this before, Lee. Her Highness Kamala Harris, that's what we call royalty, right? Royalty if you don't have to have a vote to get the position you have. Her Highness shall not be asked details, questions on her positions that she finally put on her website, but with not a lot of clarity. If you ask Her Highness for details, if you ask Kamala Harris for details, you, Lee, are a sexist.
Or at least, if not a racist
as
well.
If not a racist.
Yeah, exactly.
No details should be demanded of Her Highness. Yeah. So decreed Her Highness's spokesperson and surrogate. Hillary Clinton is acting as a surrogate for the Kamala Harris campaign yesterday on a podcast. You do not ask for details. And if you do, it is a double standard to ask Her Highness about her policy. Now, you can, by the way, at the end of all of this, Hillary goes on to say that the media needs to ask Trump more.
Right.
They need to be fair. They need to stop just covering his scandals and really dig into what he stands for. Okay, so that is not a double standard. But if you are asking Her Highness for details, that is a double standard. It's a double standard because she is a woman. Take a listen. I'll let Hillary explain.
She does not have to do it, Kara. I'm going to just cut.
Oh, by the way,
chase.
She's in saying fact, Kara Frederick asked her, not Kara Frederick, Kara Hines asked her, hey, you know, should she give details on her policies? You know, does she have to talk about her policies? Because she's not like really doing that.
She does not have to do it, Kara. I'm going to just cut to the chase. In fact, she's put out policies on her campaign website. Mm-hmm. Anybody who's truly interested can go and read about them. She right. referenced policies. Mm-hmm. She actually doesn't just have policies and concepts. She has, you know, plans about what to do. I think it's a, you know, it's a double standard. And it's a double standard that is partly because they are still getting to know her, but also because they're still grappling with the idea like, oh, am I really going to vote for a woman to be president and commander in chief?
It's a double standard, is what she's saying. If we don't know her or what she stands for, then that's a really good time to ask questions, isn't it, about her policies?
I would think. Even though we do know her.
Oh, we do.
There's, you know.
You can know her if you want to. The media just doesn't want to.
Right.
They're blacking out who she is.
Yeah.
And so this is, okay, what's happening here? This is becoming embarrassing. But after that, you know, black journalists, it wasn't an interview. I don't know what you could. An interview has follow-up questions.
Yeah.
I don't know what that was. But after that, and it became very embarrassing. We've took it for the third time. She's asked simple questions like, hey, how will Americans be better off economically? How will black people be better off economically? She can't say because they won't be. And so it's becoming embarrassing. So they're literally going, we've never seen this in American politics. They're going with, this is the party position now as decreed by Hillary Clinton. Do not ask her for details about her policies or you are a sexist. And that is a double standard. That's where they are.
Yeah.
And again, at the end of it, it's a very long clip. She goes on and says, hey, but we really need to focus on asking Donald Trump questions.
Well, he does get asked questions and quite honestly answers questions. And
even in the most hostile of environments.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
You know, the black journalists, I mean, they were terrible to him.
Yeah. And that was completely misrepresented the way that was done.
Yeah.
You know, they made it look like that he was on the attack. No, he was responding to the attacks on him that were going on at that thing. It was just very unprofessional the way it was handled. It started late. He was irritated with that. You can't blame him. You know, he's on the campaign trail. He's got a very and just like anybody on the campaign trail, you've got a schedule to meet. And when you have this situation where you're delayed by 35, 45 minutes, that's, you know, at the very least inconvenient, if not unprofessional.
So no questions shall be asked of Her Highness hereforth going forward.
Did you get a chance?
It's like she's royalty.
Did you get a chance to see any of Trump at that bar in New York yesterday?
Actually, haven't seen that. I'm that, sorry.
Honestly,
was it good?
I wish people would watch that because you get a chance to see a real human being that is not sitting here trying to do some type of scripted response to things. He was interacting with everybody there. Obviously, they were supporters, no question about it. But it's like you got to see somebody acting like a normal person, Tara. And that's what Trump was acting like a normal human being. And it was just, it was humorous. It was it was funny at times, and it was just, you know, it made you be more comfortable about this guy getting back into the White House. I don't have a problem with it, obviously, because I support his policies. But he just came across as a very normal human being the way that this thing went on, as opposed to these weird scripted things that you've seen with Kamala Harris and Walz when they go in and, you know, pretend to go looking for snacks at a convenience store.
Well, yeah, okay, so I just pulled it up. That is so cool. Okay, yeah, so there's an assassination attempt on Donald Trump 3 days ago, as we know, right? Yesterday, he's casually handing out cheeseburgers at a bar in downtown New York City.
Yeah.
And the difference between him and, say, Her Highness is that he doesn't have the real customers cleared out first so as to not have to interact with them. And she did that. She did that heading into, remember, the Democrat National Convention. She and Walz were in a Philadelphia suburb. They sent that they had people go in, clear out. It's about 4 p.m. People are watching the game. It was a Sunday. Clear out all the real customers. White vans roll up with actors.
Yeah.
The actors walk in and they're like, come on, Tim. It was amazing. And people realized what was going on. And they were trying to talk to the media outside. Like, no, we're the real customers. We got thrown out. That's how afraid they are to have Her Highness Kamala Harris have an actual human reaction with a real human being who might A, have a real comment, might B, not be a supporter, might C, God forbid, have a question about Her Highness's policies. Which, again, Hillary Clinton has now decreed, you do not ask her questions about her policies or it's a double standard. So, I mean, look at the risk Donald Trump took yesterday. Not only of assassination, right?
Yeah.
But also of getting asked a real question. Anybody in there, you know, may not, you know, be a supporter. In fact, when you do this in New York City, the odds are that they're not going to be supporters. Yeah. You don't know what they're going to say to you and you walk in anyway because you're not afraid of the American people. You're not afraid to touch them. You're not afraid to rub shoulders with them. And you're not afraid of them asking you a question. What a contrast.
Yep.
It really is shocking. And you put that, you're right, too, with the whole Kamala goes to a convenience store and they have to do multiple takes. They clear everybody out of the convenience store who is not part of her campaign in the media. And then they cut, they film one version where Tim Walz hands her the Doritos and the other her husband hands it to her.
Talk about AstroTurf.
Well, it was. And the two different parts of the campaign weren't talking and they released them both. And that's how everybody knew how fake it was because there's two versions of it. And so she had a couple of days of that. But that just goes to show you, Lee, they're never going to want to hear from the American people again if she gets elected.
No.
They're never going to. They don't care what we think now. They won't even touch us now. They won't speak to us now. What are they going to be like in power? Absolutely callous to the suffering of the American people. That's the answer. Callous. You know, we've gone from a $1,700 on average a month mortgage to a $3,400 one. Well, hey, we'll go $4,800. And they aren't going to want to hear your screaming. They're not going to want to hear that you not only can't afford a house now, you can't afford an apartment. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to talk about it. And they don't want to go anywhere where they would encounter somebody who might discuss it with them because they're mad, because they can't afford their groceries. That's what they're afraid of, Lee. I'm telling you what they're afraid of. They're afraid of a single mom seeing Kamala Harris, being able to get close enough to her and saying, honey, I can't feed my kids because of what you've done, because she has no comeback for that. And she literally did it, Lee, because she cast the vote in the Senate because the vice president is the tiebreaker.
Yep.
She cast the vote for the American Rescue Act. She cast the vote for the Inflation Reduction Plan, which drove inflation up.
Yep.
She literally did this to you when you are checking out at the grocery store and you are in shock. She knows it. She's got no response other than get away from me. We'll bring in actors.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you know what? The American people deserve what they get if they elect her.
Yeah, that's the truth.
And I hate that because us good people who know what's actually going on, we're going to have to go down with them.
Right. And we don't deserve that because
no, we don't.
We're trying to avoid this whole situation.
But The good news is, look, I've given you your marching instructions. This is what you need to do. If you feel helpless, don't feel helpless, okay? I know every one of you knows somebody in Georgia, somebody in North Carolina, or somebody in a swing state. Right now, here's what we're doing, okay? Registration deadlines for Georgia and North Carolina, the two swing states, right? They are the 11th of October and the 7th of October. Okay, so you're going to contact everybody you know and ask, are you registered to vote? If you are listening and you haven't voted in a few years, make sure you're registered to vote, because in North Carolina, like right now on the Mecklenburg County voter rolls, I actually checked last week, I'm still on the voter rolls, but I'm an inactive voter. I moved, gosh. Right? That, which is good. Thank God. I wanted to make sure nobody was voting for me.
How long ago was that?
Oh, gosh. It's been like 13 years now that I moved, but I wanted to make sure nobody was voting for me. I'm still on the rolls, but I'm inactive, okay? So if you are good and fired up and you registered before, don't assume you're still on the rolls. You gotta check. But here's the thing, it's so easy. North Carolina, Georgia, just Google your county and put Board of Elections after. Go see if you're registered. If you can't find it online, call them up. Board of Elections, Georgia, North Carolina. Make sure you're registered, because you can still register. And here's the good thing, okay? You're gonna tell your family to register, you're gonna tell your friends to register, all the people who don't normally vote, they're all gonna register. All they have to do in North Carolina, South Carolina, and Georgia, okay, is they can register online. If you've got a license in those three states, you don't even have to go to Board of Elections. You can register online. Just look it up. It's right there. DMV, register to vote. Please register to vote. This audience could well decide who the president is, because Georgia and North Carolina are swing states. It's that important. Think all the time. Who do you know? When did they last vote? Check if they're registered. You check if you're registered. Folks, this thing could come down to a few hundred votes. Can I just bottom line this for you bluntly? Democrats in their media, a lot of them, not all of them, it's never any absolutes, but a lot of them want Trump dead. They do. And they're trying to just sort of subtly egg those in their orbit on to do it. Well, they insecure and unsecure the rallies. Overnight, shocking news. We'll get into this coming up on the show. Coming out from whistleblowers, because the FBI and the Secret Service won't tell Congress anything, so we have to go to whistleblowers. You know why that roof wasn't secured, Butler? Because the Secret Service lied. They told local police they would secure it. Don't worry, we got this. No, y'all don't need to be up there. No, we got it. No, we'll have someone up there. Oh, the new excuse, by the way, is not that the roof was too sloped in this report that just came out. No, it was too hot to go on the roof. Not too hot for Thomas Crooks, you understand, but too hot for the Secret Service, who said they would go on the roof. Folks, the local police, they wanted to put a sniper on the roof. The Secret Service said no, just like they said no to the drone, the special police drone. You can't buy one of these. It does two things. It's designed especially to spot snipers and shooters and to eliminate them. The drone eliminates them. The Secret Service is like, no, don't use that. No, don't use that. Oh, and we got the roof covered. Don't worry. Shocking stuff we're going to get into coming up. You put it together. Folks, it's homicidal. You put it together. You just can't put all this together and come to any other conclusion. And they are homicidal too. Look, if you want to look at the media's body of work, okay, and what they're saying, how can you tell what they're saying? It's in the message that Democrats are receiving. What is the message Democrats are receiving? Shocking new national poll of voters. I mean, this is sit down stuff. Sit down before you read this stuff. From Rasmussen of Likely Voters. Here's a question. It would be better if Trump had been killed. Keep in mind, the respondents here are people who, I mean, they're likely voters, right? They're very tuned in. These are people who exist and subsist on a diet of mainstream media propaganda. It would be better if Trump had been killed. 28% of Democrats agree, and another 24% are unsure. That's a majority. 52% either say either it would be better if Trump had been killed or they are unsure. This is what they're taking away from the media coverage. This is sick stuff. Now listen to this. Trump or his campaign was involved in the assassination attempt. This is Democrats. 49% of Democrats say it was somewhat likely, and 21% of Democrats say it is very likely. So 70% of Democrats think Trump or his campaign were involved in the assassination attempt. In other words, it was faked by Trump. It's not really real. That is a level of plum cuckoo that is shocking. There is no reality there. Half of America doesn't live in reality, and that is why they are dangerous, okay? If that is the mainstream of Democrat thought, those two I just told you, right? Among people who will not pick up a gun, okay? They're not mentally ill. They're Democrats. They're a little mentally ill, but they're not mentally ill enough to pick up a gun. What about the ones on the fringe who are? If that's what the majority of Democrats think, what about the ones on the fringe who are? And I'm telling you, this is exactly who cringe Jean-Pierre, spokeshack for the Biden administration, is speaking to when she lets everyone know how dangerous Trump is. And Peter Ducey has to call her out on it, has to shame her, because that's who they are. It's who they are. Take a listen. This was 2 days ago.
How many more assassination attempts on Donald Trump until the president and the vice president and you pick a different word to describe Trump other than threat?
Peter, I actually completely disagree with the premise of your question, the question that you're asking. It is also incredibly dangerous in the way that you're asking it, because
she's got
American
nothing.
People are
she
watching.
Can't. She can't justify it. She wanted it for 2 minutes. I'm not going to play it. It hurt my head. Folks, let me just leave you something, okay? Remember that Secret Service sniper, counter sniper, who turned whistleblower and said, until the other four corrupt members, corrupt leaders of the Secret Service are fired or resign, Trump won't be safe, and we're going to have an assassination attempt every 30 days. Remember, he wrote that. He wrote that in an email. He sent it to most of the Secret Service and a lot of Congress. Here we are. And you know what? There's more than 30 days to the election. He said it's going to be every 30 days till they're gone. He didn't say it was because they were incompetent. What did he mean? Because they're corrupt. That's what he meant. It's because they're corrupt. Let me ask you a question here. Just get your brain rolling. Trump has to survive with this kind of protection to the presidential election, right? 50 some odd days. What will they do after? Whoever they are. What will they do after? He's then got to survive from the election to the inauguration. That's a 70-day stretch. How many 30-day periods are in there? See the problem? Now, let me really blow your mind. What if the Democrats take back the House? What if Trump gets elected, but the Democrats take the House back? American people are famous for splitting their tickets, right? They'll split their ticket. Well, I want Trump's fixes, but I'm afraid he'll go too far. I'm gonna put the Democrats in. What happens if the Democrats take the majority in the House? Well, who's number one? Who's the president? Trump. Who's the number one replacement? Vance, the vice president, right? Who is number two replacement? Should something happen to Trump during one of these 30-day periods, he keeps miraculously surviving. It's the Speaker of the House. What if the Speaker of the House is a Democrat? We have to start to think like this. Because you know what? Even if he survives to inauguration, it's going to take him 2 years to clean out the Secret Service, because they're all going to sue to keep their jobs. We're going to have to go through the courts. He's going to have to survive while they sue before he can clear that agency out from the top to guide. Even the middle management has to be ripped out by the roots. That doesn't even count the FBI. Oh, by the way, did you see what the FBI said about Iran meddling in the election? I'll break this down coming up next. Oh, by the way, in a way, nobody else will. You're just not getting this anywhere else. Stay tuned. Well, the FBI is out with a new election interference message for you this morning. And the media is acting like this is a normal law enforcement agency that's telling you normal and true things. Folks, I've been sitting in this chair, and it's literally the same chair, since 2016. As every single thing, all of it with no exceptions, the FBI has ever told us about election interference ended up being false. No exceptions. None. 17 intel agencies. Lie. Okay, it was a lie. We meant three. Did we miscount? Three intel agencies say Russia is colluding to try to influence our election. Lie, lie, and lie. Lie, 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 lie. That's why we call them the FBI. So it turns out Hillary Clinton's campaign, remember, made up the whole thing, all of it. FBI went, that's a good lie. We like that. We'll use that. Took the Steele dossier, lied to the American people for over 3 years. By the time they were done lying about election interference, and not just to you, but to the FISA court, they lied 4 times under oath to the FISA court to get the warranty to spy on Trump, who you know was a Russian colluder. Yeah, he was probably a Russian agent, probably. Then they lied and said Trump was communicating with Putin or the Kremlin via Alpha Bank through a server. Cuckoo. Alpha Bank's like, what? Sued, proved in court, didn't happen. Problem was the FBI had already spun that lie, and the Washington Post and New York Times had already won a Pulitzer for reporting it. So it kind of still lingers today. Everything the FBI has ever told you about election interference is a lie. As regards Trump. And what do they want you to know this morning? Election interference. When I hear election interference from FBI, I'm like, all I hear is lie, 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 lie. And I think, what are they doing? What are they up to? You should too. You should never trust this agency. Now look, odds are, if we listen to them long enough, they will tell us the truth one time. I mean, it's bound to happen, right? And I haven't seen it since Trump came on the scene, but I mean, it could happen. So, I mean, you know, it could happen. It could actually happen that Iran tried to influence the election by sending stolen material from the Trump campaign that they had stolen to the Biden campaign. But I doubt it. They're up to something. Keep an eye on them. This is going to go somewhere, okay? The really good news about the FBI and their lying is that they're really crappy liars. They really suck at it. And we end up finding out every detail of their lies and how they made them up and how they colluded last time with the Russians to create the lie and Hillary Clinton. They were the Russian colluders. It turns out it wasn't Trump. Unfortunately, it took the Mueller investigation, 36 FBI agents, and Trump being forced to turn over more than 1 million documents before we arrived at that. Hey, it was painful. But we were able to figure out that the FBI was lying, and I bet you they're lying now. In fact, if they said to me, Tara, contents of your 401k right now, Iran stole that information by hacking, you know, from whatever the Trump campaign sent it to the Biden campaign. Lie or true? You can only pick one. Double or nothing. What's in everything in your 401k? Double or nothing. Is it lie or true? I tell you, it's a lie. Because I've never seen anything else from them when it comes to election interference. This is what they do. This is their template. They interfere and then they blame it on Russia or maybe now Iran. I don't know. But here's the story. In an effort to sow discord and shape the outcome of U.S. elections, sorry, kids, I was straight face, Iranian cyber actors sent messages during the summer to people involved in President Biden's then re-election campaign containing stolen material from former President Trump's campaign. Say the people, the FBI, not the Iranians, say the people, the FBI, who illegally spied on Trump. But they want you to know they're outraged that the Iranians might be illegally spying on Trump too, and they're on it. Mm-hmm. Okay. They're up. Folks, we can conclude this. They're up to something, and they're lying about it. That's just their history. Iranian malicious cyber actors, and I'm sorry, I'm going to be straight-faced. Iranian malicious cyber actors in late June and early July sent unsolicited emails to individuals then associated with President Biden's campaign that contained an excerpt taken from stolen non-public material from former President Trump's campaign as text in the emails. U.S. intelligence agencies also allege that Iran has continued their election interference. Oh, there's the word. Folks, I want to train you. If the FBI says two words, election interference, do not believe anything they say after that. You know what I hear? Remember Peanuts? Wah, 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 wah. They're lying. Because every time they've ever used those words in the past, they were lying to you in an attempt to influence the election in an unfair way so that Donald Trump would not win. Anyway, the U.S. intelligence agencies also allege that Iran had continued their election interference since June and has sent stolen Trump campaign material to U.S. media organizations. How convenient. Furthermore, Iranian malicious cyber actors have continued their efforts since June to send stolen non-public material associated with former President Trump's campaign to U.S. media organizations. But don't worry, the FBI is on it. By the way, that would be the same FBI right now that's in violation of FOIA law. Yeah, because, see, they received a Freedom of Information Act request on their role in the Butler rally. Not investigating it. No, planning it. Wait. The FBI was involved in planning the Butler rally? Uh-huh. With the Secret Service. Yeah. And they're currently violating FOIA law by not turning over the documents related to that? Mm-hmm. And we're supposed to trust them about Iranian election interference? Okay. Folks, there is only one response to this. Laughter. Just laughter. You know how you take their power? You stop believing them and you tell everyone you know to stop believing them too. You gotta love California, man. So a state where it is virtually legal to steal something as long as it's valued at under $1,000. Yeah, they made that a misdemeanor. And then the attorney general of the state announced they wouldn't be prosecuting misdemeanors. So, I mean, it's kind of a pain because you don't want to carry three TVs out at one time. You can only carry like one and you got to make sure it's under $1,000 value. But otherwise, I mean, it's yours. Oh, and it's great. And then when the cop arrests you in the parking lot, well, there's no bond. So he has to let you go. So you can go right back and get the next TV. It's up to Wonderland, really, unless you're a retailer. Anyway, yeah. So in California, theft under $1,000 is legal, but talking about it like I just did using AI is not. Oh, this is awesome. Wait till you hear what Elon Musk just did to Gavin Newsom for passing this law. You cannot use AI to create a fake political ad. The courts can literally pull down what you said. Or they could. Wait till you hear what Elon Musk did. All that coming up in the next hour.